I like to take things as they come, because paying attention to the moment is, for me, critical.
The sublime violinist Midori, who has graced the stages of concert halls around the world for over 30 years, is sharing her knowledge and artistry with young musicians in a residency in Kalamazoo this week that will culminate in two concerts, the first Saturday night with the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra, and the second with the Kalamazoo Junior Symphony Orchestra, Sunday afternoon at 4. I'm Kara LaRance. This is WMUK's Let's Hear It. So glad you could join me tonight to hear this conversation with Midori and Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra maestro Raymond Harvey, recorded earlier today. Let's listen. Midori, welcome.
Thank you very much. I'm very happy to be here. Very excited to be here in Kalamazoo after so many years. I was here, I think, some 20 years ago, and it's been a long time. So to be back here, it's very exciting, and particularly to work so much with the younger musicians. It's such a special treat for me.
Oh, I can't wait to talk about this. I'd also like to welcome back our wonderful maestro, Raymond Harvey of the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra. Thank you again.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
This was an undertaking that did take a great deal of planning, and it all has to do with a residency program you created some years back, where two times a year you take a week or so to spend in a community, and as far as I can tell, you try to meet every single person that lives there who has any interest in music.
Well, this orchestra residency program is designed to bring the youth orchestras really into the forefront of the community's interest and awareness. And I also encourage very much for the youth orchestras to work with the affiliated adult orchestra in the area, as well as to reach out to other young and younger musicians in the community.
Is this a reflection of your own experience, having been a young prodigy who made friends with many, many great artists of that time?
I think it's something that always excited me, and something that always caught my interest and imagination to be interacting with others through music. And in some of the programs that I've started, whether it's in New York or in Japan, we don't particularly always, have a program that focuses solely on making music with the younger musicians. We bring music, music education in some of the programs that I do. But this orchestra residencies program is about making music, collaborating through music with the younger musicians.
Well, I think that young musicians would be a little shaky, a little nervous to have Midori walk in the room and say, "Play for me." Or is that how it works?
That's not how it works.
It's actually
much, 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 much more casual than that. And I think much more easygoing. And actually, I'm very, very excited. And the thing to remember is that I'm also, just sort of, there's that little hint of, what's going to happen now, I hope this is going to go fine. I hope, they're not going to all turn away. So it's, I so much want to meet them, and I so much want to communicate with them, and I so much want to interact with them. And the kids, I think, feel very similar ways, and what is she going to play for us, or what can we play for her? And that excitement is just something very special.
I think it really is important, because so many young musicians, they have a tendency to feel isolated. They tend to be doing things that their young friends are not doing. And so they're in a sort of a little world of their own. And to be able to interact with famous musicians and adult musicians, it gives them a wider understanding of where their musical life could go. And I think that that's really important at a young age.
Based on your unique perspective of having done this around the world, what are some of the similarities in young children musicians wherever you go?
I think that every residency has been unique, and I do two residencies every season in the U.S. and then one internationally. So it could be this later this year, for example, I'm going to Santa Rosa. That's the second residency in the U.S. and then going to Cape Town, South Africa. That's the international one, as well as actually this year we have two international ones since we didn't have one last year. That one is in Bahia, Brazil. And I think what it is that is so inspiring to me is, of course, the work with the children, the interactions with the children, but the people who are committed, the people around them who dedicate themselves to bringing these special musical opportunities to them, the work that they do, sometimes against all odds, to give the gift of music, to share the music, and to give children chances to embrace music and to learn about it, to play an instrument, and to come together as a group. I find these encounters to be the most inspiring.
You have an assistant who gathers material on the applications in the cities and communities that are requesting a residency from you, from Midori. Do you look over the final picks and decide?
No, I don't, actually. We have an objective selection committee. I ask my colleagues. It's on a rotating basis. It's an anonymous selection committee who donate their time and expertise. They review the applications, and they, I believe, base their selections, final two selections, on the creativity of the activities proposed.
Well, you have taken a wonderful blossoming in your career to giving back with your residencies, and also taking a post at California University as the Yasha Heifetz Chair at the Thornton School of Music, and working with advanced students, I imagine. How has that affected your approach to your career and your music?
Well, I think teaching has been a very important part of my life, my professional life, certainly, for many, many years. And I grew up in New York, and I moved to California. I moved to L.A. Specifically for the job, for the position at the University of Southern California. And, of course, you know, I love it. I think of this as something, you know, I can't imagine not doing. And previous to my appointment there, I was teaching in a conservatory, and now I'm in the university setting. It's quite different, and it's a difference that I enjoy very much. That's something I was looking for, the interdisciplinary aspects, you know, more open-mindedness towards non-musical subjects, as well as very concentrated focus on the performance. That combination is very, very interesting and intriguing for me. To be able to have the administrative position for me as a chair of the department is something that I thrive on. I enjoy office work. I enjoy sitting at the desk. I enjoy doing the administrative side of the job. So, you know, it's a position that actually enables me to combine many of the skills I learned, not only as a performer, but as somebody who started three nonprofit organizations, somebody who's in the community, and somebody who actually didn't get degrees in music or in performance, but in psychology. So it's really a position that enables me to fill many roles, enables me to combine different skills that I have cultivated, and I enjoyed it very much.
You know, I really think that's marvelous, Midori, because it gives you such a larger picture of musical world, of what a person can accomplish and how much a person can influence others. There are many, many great performing artists who are solely focused on their performances and their recordings. And, I mean, we're thankful to have them. But for someone to spend time with musicians of all ages and all levels and different types of backgrounds. There's a fullness to that, and it also, I'm sure, informs your own music making because you've experienced more through your work with other people.
Well, I certainly am very grateful for the opportunities I get. Mm-hmm. And as just as an, you know, just sort of a side note, you know, the fact that I get to work with a great age range, mm-hmm. And different backgrounds and different interests, it's just so interesting, and I learn so much. And you know, I don't know if it affects my music making in any particular way, and certainly it's not my particular desire to make it happen in those ways, in such ways. But I think all the experiences do affect me personally, and there has to be a way that is going to show up in the music making.
Part of making music is learning about the composers and their styles and their culture and environment at which they wrote the music. And I've read some really wonderful essays that you wrote, Midori, about pieces that you've played, and it seems clear that you have a real interest in understanding that kind of context and bringing that to your playing. I'm wondering if that is something you require of your advanced students to go and do that research and learn about the lives of the composers.
I think it's an expectation that we all have as teachers that the students take on thorough study of a piece, which includes learning about the context, about the influences, about many different aspects of the piece and of the composer. I would not say that that alone informs the interpretation. It's not just an academic knowledge that is going to do it. There has to be more. And if we only look for answers of how to interpret just in the historical context, and that probably is not going to work either. So it's a very important part of the whole picture. It's not the only picture. It's not the largest component of the picture. It's that combination, what it actually is made up of, I think is also different between different players.
Well, this is the perfect time to mention that you're performing the Shostakovich Violin Concerto No. 1 Saturday night with the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra. Full details at kalamazoosymphony.com or call 269-387-2300 for ticket availability. The Shostakovich Violin Concerto No. 1. Let's get into a little more detail on this piece. I understand it was written for a great soloist, David Oistrakh, and had some difficulty initially having a performance due to some political problems. Is that correct?
I think that Shostakovich is one of the composers that we very well know had very difficult time living in the time that he was, in the country where he was, and whether it's a combination of the, you know, political and the personal and the social issues, you know, it's got to be a combination of things. But Shostakovich is one of the composers that we'd like to talk about, saying that these political challenges are very clear in the music.
Maybe, Raymond, you could talk about the form of this piece. It has some unusual features, like a passacaglia.
It does have very unusual features. It's not your typical violin concerto where you have three movements, something flashy, something slow, and then something brilliant at the end. Just the fact that it starts with a rather moody and long movement that's called nocturne sets a tone at the beginning that I think maybe startles an audience that is not familiar with the piece. There is such a very personal approach to the way he begins this whole concerto that it draws the listener in, because the listener is kind of confused, not knowing where is this going, you know, what is this really all about? And then the quixotic differences from movement to movement, the second movement, Scherzo, is just wild and crazy, and and in some ways a nightmare for the woodwind players to scramble through the quickness of what Shostakovich has given them to do. The Passacaglia is that third movement, and that's very special. People that know their music form know that a Passacaglia is like a ground bass. It's a repeated theme in the bass line. And in this case, Shostakovich's bass theme is 17 measures long, which is rather unusual itself. And it's repeated 9 times in different guises. Different instruments get to play that Passacaglia bass line. Sometimes it's in woodwind, sometimes it's in the solo violin, sometimes it's in the bottom of the orchestra. And when those 9 times are through, Shostakovich, instead of just ending that movement, segues into an amazing violin cadenza that Midori might want to talk a little bit about as well. It's a very long cadenza. It's one of those things where, as a conductor, I wish I had a chair where I could sit down for a while. but it evolves in such an amazing way, so that everything that happens at the cadenza seems like it naturally has to follow what came before and lead to the next. And at the end of the cadenza, it builds up steam, it builds up speed, it builds up momentum, and launches right into a very brilliant finale full of dance rhythms and gypsy tunes and all sorts of fun stuff.
Did you have any thoughts on this piece, the cadenza, or the
emotion? Well, I would say that this piece is actually one of the, of the 20th century violin concertos, one of the most popular that we have right now. Many younger violinists are playing it now, much more than in the past. Of course, the piece is new, but I remember when I was learning it, you know, it was one of, you know, my friends would come and ask me, well, what is that like? You know, what's that piece? And now it's quite popular, even in the student population. So that's, you know, that's a wonderful thing, that it becomes more well-known, and that it's going to become more often played. The cadenza, as it was already said, it is actually quite feet, and I think it's just the energy that goes into it, the emotional intensifying that happens during the cadenza leading out of the Passacaglia. It's quite unique.
Mm-hmm. Some musicians use images or imagery to put them in the mind of the music. Is that something that you ever do? Or you just sort of feel the mood?
I think it depends on the piece. Yeah. Some pieces, you know, evoke a very strong visual image. Some not, mostly not.
Okay. Well, let's put ourselves in mind of the opening of this concerto. Nocturne, you said, a night piece. So we start in a somewhat dark place to finally get to our big finale at the end. Here's a recording that you made with the Berlin Philharmonic, a live performance with Claudio Abbado conducting, who passed away just about a week ago. And did you have any words or remembrance of this wonderful conductor?
He was certainly a wonderful, wonderful conductor. And yes, it's hard for me to believe that it's already been a week that since he passed away. We are grateful, I think, for all that he's done. Not only the recordings that he's left, but the inspiration that he gave all of us.
Let's listen. We're just luxuriating in this night piece, the nocturne that opens the Concerto for Violin No. 1 by Dmitri Shostakovich. This work is on the program Saturday night with the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra, featuring Midori, who's my guest this morning on WMUK, as well as Maestro Raymond Harvey. Tickets for this concert available at KalamazooSymphony.com. More information there, as well as MillerAuditorium.com, or call 387-2300. Luxuriating is a nice phrase for a piece of music that goes from this dark night piece to a very frantic finale, and a polka in the middle, if I'm not mistaken, or some sort of...
The polka is in the other Shostakovich work.
Oh, okay. Well, there's a very upbeat sort of his typically sarcastic kind of...
You know, it's interesting trying to put together a program when the Shostakovich Violin Concerto is part of the program. It's hard to figure out what's the combination of other works to put with it. I wanted to contrast it severely, and we will, with the second half of the concert, which is Beethoven's Seventh Symphony. Coming back to something in its own way very quirky, but certainly of a different classical era. There's another Shostakovich work on the program to start the concert, which is one of his two jazz suites. This is music that he wrote for film. He did a lot of film composing. And it's a delightful little jazz suite that when you hear it, you cannot believe this is Shostakovich. The closest composer it sounds to, I think, is Kurt Weill. The jazz suite has three movements. There's a waltz, there's a polka, and there's a foxtrot. But one of the unusual things is the instrumentation. He writes it only for two trumpets, one trombone, three saxophones, piano, percussion, one violin, one double bass, banjo, and Hawaiian guitar.
I'm scratching my head. What a curious combination.
But the polka is delightful. It's really just a little charming bonbon that Shostakovich has given us.
Well, it's a perfect time to contrast with the first movement of the Shostakovich, and then back with Raymond Harvey and Midori. You're right, Raymond, that is extremely charming. And I can't help but think the musicians of the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra would feel very dapper having finished this.
Oh, it makes everyone smile.
Well, if you've just tuned in, my guests are Raymond Harvey and Midori, the soloist on Saturday night's concert with the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra. And more information at KalamazooSymphony.com, or even Midori's website, which is GoToMidori.com. And the other part of the residency that we can talk about is your work with the Kalamazoo Junior Symphony Orchestra, which will culminate in a public concert at 4 o'clock Sunday in Chenery Auditorium. Not only are you featured as a soloist playing the finale to the Tchaikovsky Concerto, but you will be joining another member of the Junior Symphony who won the internal competition in a duet concerto by Bach. And I understand that you met Anna Nordmo yesterday. And
for the first time, yes, we rehearsed. We rehearsed also with the orchestra. And yes, and I think we're also going to some of the elementary schools in the area together to perform. And she's in the quartet that is coming along as well. So she has a very busy week.
She does, yes. Well, so do you. When you walk into a room and assess a young player, I'm sure many things pop into your mind about fingering and tone production and tuning. And how does that all sort itself out, and how do you choose what to say first?
Oh, I think that is a very interesting question. Of course, every player is different. Every young player is different. Different contexts also make a difference in how I would approach each of the sessions. Depends also how long we have. And, you know, but I can't decide anything until I actually hear and work with the person. So that's a starting point always, a very important one. You know, I like to take things as they come because paying attention to the moment is, for me, critical.
How much can you learn from just one bow stroke?
It depends on the player, but...
It depends on the bow stroke.
Yeah, right. That's right. It depends on the player. It depends on the bow stroke. But now what I'm enjoying so much this week is to play with Anna, but to work with the whole youth orchestra, and then with members from the youth orchestra, with the Junior Symphony, going out to the middle schools and in some cases elementary schools and playing for their peers, who may or may not know about the youth orchestra. And I think that's really neat.
What are some of the comments that you've gotten from children after you've worked with them for a little while?
Well, I think in the beginning, they especially the ones that were working with me intensely yesterday to prepare for the performances that are actually happening in the schools from today, this afternoon onwards, I think they were really... you know, just sort of there was that sense of relief after the first time after they played, because, you know, I didn't actually, you know, say that they're playing the wrong piece or that they're playing everything wrong or anything like that. And I actually enjoyed it very much. And then we worked a little bit. We talked about how to put ensemble sound together. In some cases, we talked about, you know, how to actually feel more like one unit rather than four or five different players playing together at the same time. The sense of the spirit of the music and how to concentrate and all that, how to listen. It was a very enjoyable session. I would have, you know, I would just say that the time that we had just flew.
Does it actually take you back to when you were learning and all of this information was coming at you really fast and you had to absorb and put it to use?
Sometimes, yeah, because each situation is different. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't.
Well, if we look again at the program on Saturday, we're going to see Shostakovich Jazz Suites. We're going to see the Violin Concerto of Shostakovich and the Beethoven Symphony No. 7, which will finish the
yes.
program. Is that also known as the Dance Symphony?
Yes, it is, actually. Mostly because of its last movement that is just a sort of a perpetual motion that just doesn't let up. It's relentless.
Well, we'll hear Beethoven in just a moment. I have the symphony queued up, and we can maybe even hear the last movement. Again, looking at Sunday's program, that's with the Kalamazoo Junior Symphony Orchestra in Chenery Auditorium at 4 o'clock. With the Bach Double Concerto, you'll be playing with Anna Nordmo, who is, I believe, just in ninth grade, a freshman, and I'm sure she's beside herself with excitement. And they'll also be performing the Fourth Symphony of Tchaikovsky, which is a big undertaking, too.
They sounded very, very good in rehearsal yesterday. I was very impressed.
Any other thoughts on your residency and this dedication to bringing music to young people?
It's a very, very exciting time for me. The residency weeks that I have in my season, which are, well, two seasons, and every year, there are the weeks that are usually my highlights. And it's just so wonderful to have this opportunity to interact with the younger musicians, with their teachers, with their parents, the volunteers, everyone around them, how young people are bringing these people together, and how music is also bringing all of us together. I think it's just so wonderful.
And I have to say, this is a marvelously generous gift that Midori gives us. by coming to the community, by spending this much time, by pulling together so many different facets of the community. This is very rare. And, you know, when you consider someone of her stature and her reputation, she doesn't have to do this. But she gives of herself, she gives of her expertise, her skill, her heart. And she, as I think most professional musicians we all need to remember that we were young kids once. We were young, struggling little musicians at one point. And we were grateful to have mentors and teachers and supportive parents and supportive community to help us grow into the musicians that we wanted to be. So this is a really wonderful gift that Midori gives us to spend this time in our community. We appreciate it.
I agree.
Thank you, Ba. It's wonderful to be here.
I wonder if you have seen any evidence from past residencies, notes from children or parents, continued communication with the music educators that show that your residency made a difference.
I actually run into former, I call ORPIs. Any student that's participated in the past ORPs, they become known to me as ORPIs, or the ORPI. And I run into them. They come and they introduce themselves, or they, you know, tell me that they were in such and such, city or a town or ORP. it actually happens a lot. And some of them are pursuing music as their careers. Some of them as a performance major. Some not. Some as music lovers. Some medical schools, and different areas. But there's that sense of community, which is very nice.
Well, I imagine that warms your heart, and it sort of recommits you to the residency program, ORP, Orchestral Residency Program.
Yes.
Well, I think that's all the time we have today. It's been really nice visiting with you, and thanks for sharing your thoughts with all thousands of listeners listening to WMUK, reaching even more people, and in person working with so many young students. And folks, it's something to celebrate, and one way to do that is to be in the hall Saturday night at 8 o'clock with the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra, and then to get up again on Sunday and join the Kalamazoo Junior Symphony Orchestra, both concerts featuring Midori. And Raymond Harvey, any thoughts on the Beethoven, that so we can finish up this hour, tie a bow on it?
It's such a well-known work and so joyous. It's a special work because even though we know it and it's so familiar, you can't help but be caught up into what Beethoven has produced with this work. And we in rehearsals have been having a great time revisiting this old friend.
Thank you, Maestro Harvey. Thank you, Midori.
Thank you.